Avenger. Over the minds of mortal men come many shadows. Shadows of greed and hate, jealousy and fear. Shadows which fog the minds of men and women, which urge them on into their venture in the dark. Dark Venture. The American Broadcasting Company presents Dark Venture, written by Larry Marcus, directed by William T. Johnson, and featuring Joan Banks in Elizabeth is Frightened. And now your host for tonight's journey into darkness, John Newland.
This is John Newland. Tonight we search through the dark city for Elizabeth. The night is unbroken by stars or moon. There are only the thin, pitiful street lamps, the flashing headlights of an occasional speeding car. The hour is 2. The chimes in the gray cathedral boom hollowly in the empty streets. An ambulance races down Main, its red warning light flashing on and off quickly, like the fevered... A newsboy stands on a street corner waiting for the last bus. A tall girl in a thin coat hides in the shadows of a cigar store, waiting for nothing at all. But we go on, for we must find Elizabeth. Down Ardmore Drive. Now the darkness deepens. Now it is a quiet, dignified darkness, draping itself over these fine homes. Now here at last we have reached Elizabeth. This is Elizabeth, tossing and turning in her sleep, in the grip of some terrible dream that will not release her. By the faint moonlight filtering through the curtains, we watch her strange struggle, her head twisting feverishly from side to side, her fingers clawing at some invisible enemy. And then suddenly the struggle becomes too much.
No! No, no! It's only a dream. Everything all right. It's only a dream. You won't hurt me again. Go back to sleep. But I can't sleep. Remembering. It's always the same. I can't forget you, Philip. No matter how hard I try. I don't know who introduced me to the stranger in town, Philip Bailey. I suppose we were brought together because at 45 he was an eligible widower, and at 28 I was well on my way to being an ineligible old maid. But from the very first I was fascinated by him, by his strange mind. And he was so honest and kind, and I admired him for that. I remember how he spoke of his first wife, Martha.
You'd have liked Martha, Elizabeth. She was so wonderfully alive. The winter she took sick of pneumonia and died, I simply couldn't believe it. For weeks afterward, every time the doorbell rang, I thought, this will be Martha. I've been dreaming this terrible thing. I've only to throw open the door, and she'll be standing there, smiling.
A month after we met, Philip asked me to marry him, and I accepted at once. Everyone was happy for me. Everyone agreed it was a good match. Everyone but my housekeeper, Flora. When she heard I was to be married, she let me know how she felt in no uncertain way.
I've known you since your mama brought you home in a pink blanket, and I can speak plain, Elizabeth. I think you're making a mistake.
How can you say that, Flora? You hardly know Philip.
Yeah, got a feeling, that's all.
Oh, Flora, a feeling.
Well, what do you know about him, Elizabeth? What do you really know?
I know that when I'm with him, I'm very, very happy.
He knows that when he's with you, he's within grabbing distance of a lot of money.
Oh, Philip was right.
Hmm?
He warned me that's what people would say, that he was marrying me for my money. Well, I want to show you something, Flora. I have a copy of it right here in my desk. Here. I want you to read this.
Waiver of rights. I, Philip Bailey, do hereby relinquish all rights and claims to all real and personal property of Elizabeth Bronson for the duration of her natural life.
How do you like that, Flora?
Well, on paper it looks all right.
When we returned from our honeymoon, Philip took over the side room on the first floor for his study. He filled it with his books and sealed himself off from everyone for hours. Yet we still had time for dinners and the theater and house parties. One night in our home, Philip met Dr. Davis, who'd been our family physician for many years. And here was the first indication of what was to come.
No, Doctor, I don't agree at all. I have found that the most exciting aspect of psychiatry is the brutal and terrifying manner in which one mind can dominate another.
You mean hypnosis, Mr. Bailey?
Hypnosis, I dislike that word. It smacks of the vaudeville stage. But to me, it's utterly fascinating how I can look into another man's eyes, thrust my will into his very soul, and force him to do my bidding.
Of course, but only a quack would use hypnosis that way.
A quack?
That's
I'll see you.
Right,
Doctor.
Bailey.
Oh, heavens, it sounds like you two are about ready to start punching each other in the nose.
I think I'll be going, Elizabeth.
But, Doctor, you were to stay for dinner.
I'll let the doctor go, Elizabeth. I don't think he'd enjoy his dinner anyhow.
But everything really began 2 days later, in the early evening, with the ringing of the telephone.
I'll get it, Lulu. Hello? Oh, hello, Helen. A bridge game tonight? Well, I'd like to, Helen, but Elizabeth hasn't been feeling too well lately.
Philip.
No, I guess it's just nerves, but she does need rest, you know. Could you excuse her just for tonight? Thanks, Helen, thank you. Goodbye.
Philip, why in the world did you tell her I wasn't feeling well? I feel wonderful.
All right. I guess I'm just selfish. I don't want you to go to any bridge game tonight, darling. I want you to stay home with me.
I see.
Why else would I tell her that, darling?
And will that be all, Mrs. Bailey?
Let me see, razor blades, toothpaste, hand cream. Yes, I guess that's all, Mr. Martin.
Okay. Oh, by the way, are those sleeping pills helping you any?
Sleeping pills?
Those pills your husband picked up for your nerves.
My nerves?
Yes.
But I don't understand. Never mind.
Are you feeling better these days?
Yes. Yes, I'm feeling much better.
But of course I told the druggist they were for you, darling. I thought they'd be easier to get that way.
Oh, then you really bought them for yourself.
Yes. I guess I've been doing too much reading lately. Just haven't been able to sleep so well.
Philip, what did you mean, easier to get? It's only a mild sedative. Anyone can buy that medicine.
Well, I just didn't want a lot of people gossiping about me. Why make such a big issue out of it, Elizabeth? Why else would I have told the druggist that?
Is that you, Flora?
Yes, it's me, all right. It's me.
Did you get all the groceries for dinner tonight?
Yes, I got everything.
Oh, I want everything to be just right. It's quite a celebration, you know. Just 6 months ago today, I met Philip. What's the matter, Flora?
You feel all right, don't you?
Oh, why, of course I feel fine.
Well, more people stop me on the street to tell me how sorry they are you're feeling so bad, and they hope you'll be better soon.
Well, I don't understand that. I don't understand it at all. I'll get the phone. Hello?
Hello, is this Mrs. Bailey?
Yes.
This is Mr. Rossi, the baker.
Oh, yes, Mr. Rossi. Are the cakes for tonight ready yet?
What's that? What's the matter with you, Mrs. Bailey?
I beg your pardon?
Less than 1 hour ago, your husband come by to tell me to cancel the order. You're too sick for the party tonight.
What?
I say less than 1 hour ago, your husband...
I heard what you said, Mr. Rossi. Why did you call?
Well, I forget to tell your husband. I think you should pay for the cakes anyhow. I make them especially for you. I'm not going to sell them to anyone else today, and by tomorrow they'll be staged.
Well, will you hold the line a minute? I want to talk to my husband about this. He's in his study.
Oh, sure.
Too sick for the party tonight. Why is Philip saying such things? Why is he?
Yes, what is it?
I must see you right away, Philip. I'm coming in.
Elizabeth, I've asked you many times not to come into my study.
But I want to ask...
Am I being too presumptuous in wanting a place where I can read and think in privacy?
Philip, I didn't mean to disturb you, but Mr. Rossi...
Who?
The baker who was supposed to have prepared our cakes for tonight. He called saying you canceled the order because I wasn't well.
Oh, yes. Yes. I told him not to bother you. I'm tired of all these parties. I want time to read and be alone, Elizabeth. I couldn't tell him that was the reason for the cancellation, so... Well, I said you were ill. I meant to explain. It slipped my mind. Is that so terrible?
No. No, I suppose not.
Why else would I have told the baker that, Elizabeth?
No, Anne, I'm not really sick. Who told you I was? Mr. Rossi, well, I'm perfectly all right. Just a little tired, maybe. But, Francis, I'm all right, really I am. I know what Anne said, but it's just my nerves, that's all. No, Francis is wrong. I'm not ill. I'm just tired. That's all, Grace. Well, I may not sound too well, but I assure you, I am all right. Yes, I'll take it easy. Yes, I promise.
What is that husband of yours trying to do, Elizabeth?
Why, what do you mean, Flora?
You know what he told me this morning?
What?
He told me to throw your sleeping pills in the furnace.
But they never were mine. He bought them for himself. I've just been taking them for the last few nights because all this talk about my health has made me so upset.
Yes, I know that. But do you know why he wanted me to throw away the pills?
Why?
Because, according to him, he was afraid you were thinking of committing suicide.
All right, Flora, that'll be enough from you. You can pack up your clothes, Flora. Get out of this house.
You'd like that, wouldn't you? Well, I'm not getting out of this house, Mikey. High and mighty.
Well, you'll do as I say.
Flora, go into the kitchen, please. I want to talk to Mr. Bailey.
She's leaving this house, Elizabeth.
I'll not let him harm you.
Please, Flora, please do as I say. Go into the kitchen.
The day when he came to this house, that's all I can say.
She'll have to leave, darling. I won't allow her to upset you.
She's not upsetting me, Philip. I'm perfectly all right.
Well, of course you are, but you should rest more. You shouldn't allow yourself to become so excited.
So much has happened that I can't understand. Why, everyone in town seems to think that I'm practically on the verge of suicide.